नमो विष्णु पादाय गौरपृष्ठाय भूतले श्री श्रीमद्भक्ति प्रज्ञान केशवैति नाम वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमो महावदन्नाय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरतिजे गुरवे गौरचंद्राय राधिकायै तदाले कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातर्याजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयतया तर्वोऽभिनेदो तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमान् तवैवास्मि न जीवामि त्वया विना इति विज्ञाय राधे तं नयमाम चरणं My humble obeisances in the lotus feet of my Paramaradhyatam Om Vishnu Parshishmat Bhakti Pragyan Kesho Goswami Maharaj Guru Pad Padma and in the lotus feet of my Siksha Guru Om Vishnu Parshishmat Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Nowadays, in Jagannath Puri, festival court is going on. Only 2 days before, perhaps, Rath Yatra was. Millions of people over whole world were gathered. It's still going on. Perhaps tomorrow will be Hera Panchami.
Day after tomorrow.
And after that, again, return festival will come. So many things will be there and going on. Mali Krishna and his associates and his incarnations, they come to this earth with a purpose. And that purpose is that causeless, merciful they are. They descend only to attract people. How they can cross the river of endless pain and death and birth. So Kart festival is there. I want to tell something before that. We will very soon we will discuss about Rath Yatra festival. But everything begins from Shraddha, Nishtha, Ruchi. Like Rup Goswami has written, Adau Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Shraddha. But I think that he has not told first Sadhu Shraddha. Sadhu Shraddha be first. Bhakti Janma Mool has satsanga. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mool. What is the meaning?
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad, Krishna Bhakti Janma Mool
Hai Sadhu Sangha, the root cause of the awakening of Krishna Bhakti is the association of a pure Vaishnava.
But why Rupa Goswami told like that? Adau Saddha? Why he told? Can you? Why he told?
Srila Rupa Goswami has explained, Adau Sraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. In the beginning there is Sraddha, and then after that one gets Sadhu Sangha. But actually, we should know that on the basis of Sukriti, good fortune, one first has the chance to meet with a sadhu and hear Harikatha from him. But in the first stage, we have no proper understanding of who is a sadhu or how to associate. But by that association, then faith is awakened in the heart. Then after, when we associate with a sadhu, with very strong faith, with a great deliberate intention of attaining pure bhakti by that association, then that stage has been called by Srila Rupa Goswami Pad Sadhu Sangha in the verse Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha.
You understand now? He has told correct. What he told? Again here. What is the question?
He is replying to the question that how is it that Srila Rupa Goswami, he has stated Ado Shraddha, that there is Shraddha, but how will one get Shraddha? This is the point. That he has said Ado, but this Ado means that in the beginning, one will have had to get Sadhu Sangha. How one will get Sadhu Sangha? That is explained. Bhakti is to Bhagavad Bhakta Sangena Parijayate Satsanga Prakriti Pumbi Sukriti Puta Satchatai. That one who has accumulated Sukriti, Bhakti Sukriti, heaps and heaps of Bhakti Sukriti through many, many lifetimes, then by the dint of the Sukriti, they will come in contact with Sadhu. Such Sadhus, Srila Gurudev many times he has explained that they are those Mahabhagavat, first category, second category, and third category. And also, just in Bajor, where he was discussing Mahat Sangam, it was also explained that those who are Majjhimadhikari, but who've achieved at least Ruchi, Asakti, that they can be in this category of Sadhu. That from them, Paramatik Shraddha, transcendental faith, is coming. And one who associates with them, then this transcendental faith will be inculcated within their hearts. This is Ado. By this association, Ado, then will come this Paramatik Shraddha, at least some minute aspect of it, which will begin one's path in bhakti.
Very good. Any question? Go on.
What is the meaning of association? Yeah.
He has told, but you could not carefully hear. He has told.
He asked what kind of
question is.
He's only seeing the sadhu or something deeper than this?
Question is, if we see only the sadhu, is that association or is there something deeper meaning?
Sadhu is not called only form. Raman can come and he can take the Danda Sannyas. And nowadays, in disguise, oh, thousands and millions of sadhus, in the form of sadhu, Raman is touring here and there.
Moving around.
It may be there may be so many Ravan within us also who are attracting Sita in disguise and try to kidnap her. There may be so in the form of sadhu they have come. But you should know Ram and Lakshman are here. They will show to you. So, Adav Shraddha. In first chance, common people, general people, they don't know who is sadhu and who is asadhu. They don't know. Only outer symptoms shows that he is sadhu or he is not asadhu. It depends on that, because they don't know. But that person sadhu, without any reason, without anything, he comes to the door of Grihastha. Oh, can you give me one glass of water? He is not thirsty. Even he. Oh, can you give me a sandal? Or like that. And he makes some sukriti. And in the exchange, he gives some thoughts. What is the aim and object of life? And gradually, though the general people has no deep thought, but by any Mahabharata history or story or Srimad Bhagavata story, they give some knowledge of bhakti. And they tell who is really sadhu, who is not really sadhu. Then, by this association, the common people, general people, they come in a platform that they have some real transcendental sattva. If they are not serving, not obeying higher classes of sadhus, they cannot do anything by hearing. Only hearing will not do. Like in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it has been told. Tadbiddhi pranipat pariprasnen sevaya. Seva is shrestha among them. Tadbiddhi pranipat pariprasna and sevaya. If you are not doing seva, not obeying him, no strong belief on him, you cannot do something. And there is a standard of associates. There is a standard. So, first saddha comes, and what saddha comes? Krishna bhakti kaide sarva karma kritaha. If I will chant, remember, meditate Krishna, my life will be successful, nothing to do. Nothing to collect, nothing to maintain, nothing. This life has given by Krishna according to the level that in past days what we have done. Understand? So, if you will not do anything, even your maintenance is bound to be go. What I told? Try to come some more early. When I came, then after. As if I am sitting here to welcome them. They should come first before me and welcome me. Not that I will welcome with so many people. Oh, Maharaj is coming. Be careful. Padmanabh Maharaj, Ashram Maharaj are coming. I don't like.
Srila Gurudev is explaining the shloka. Shraddha shabde vishvas kohe sudridha nishchoy Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. This is the definition of actual shraddha. If someone has shraddha, then they will have a very firm conviction and belief, complete, absolute belief, that if I serve Krishna, Krishna bhakti koile, if I perform Krishna bhakti to Krishna, then sarva karma krita hoy. All other activities for my maintenance or any other duties that there are in life, they will automatically be taken care of. Srila Gurudev is also explaining that this life that we've received now is the result of our activities in previous life. So whatever is coming to us by our pious activities in the form of so many material good fortune and happiness, it's bound to come. It will automatically come no matter what we do. And similarly, our suffering is the same. So someone who has true Shraddha, he understands that actually his foremost duty and his only duty in life is to perform pure bhakti to Krishna in this human form of life and attain perfection. And all of the other activities that he requires to do for his maintenance, etc., they'll be taken care of, and automatically he will get the results of his previous life's activities. So real Shraddha, real firm belief, means that one believes, I only have this one duty in life, and that is to serve Krishna.
Then maintenance is bound to come. Nothing to bother, nothing to suffer. Like birds, like an ant, like pythons. They do nothing. But life is maintained. But we think that, oh, I am so active. I am doing business. I am serving. And thus money is coming and maintenance. It is quite false. Don't believe in this theory. Believe in this theory that Krishna has given this form, human form, and he has written that, oh, your whole life will be in such a way it will go. Suffering may come, happiness may come, but your life will be maintained. Anyhow, if you are sitting here, some will come. Oh, why you are hungry? Oh, take this. Krishna will himself come. You know the history? Oh, mean history. So, you should try to do Krishna bhakti. Nothing else. And you will see that now you have enough time to do bhajan. We know Ramayana, we know Mahabharata, we know Purans. Five Vyas, they wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, Gita, Puran, and all other things. Oh, for us. But we are unfortunate, we are not taking all this. So we must have a strong faith on epics, Srimad Bhagavat Gita, Bhagavatam, Ramayana, and Ramayana also, Valmiki is not less, he is also a Vyas. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, the books of Rupa Goswami are not less important than Vyasadeva. In some cases, they are more better, superior. So, try to have a bhav that in this human form, I have only one aim and object of our life. And what is that? to practice bhakti yoga. Now, I want to give some explanation of the Rath Yatra in very brief. How it came, Rath Yatra? It seems that Krishna went to sun or eucalyptus.
Solar eclipse
in Kurukshetra. Radhika and all others went there. Also, there is some history in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, here and there. So, we have explained so many times. So, I request Shyamrani in brief the explanation or account of Rath Yatra.
First, second.
You know all. In brief. Oh, get my
microphone, please.
Coming. Sri Gurave Nama.
How they came from Dwarka to Mathura with Govinda Maharaj. Gaur-Gobind-Maharaj and my boat. Very interesting.
Om Jnanam Timurandasya Jnanam Janasalakaya Chaksaranavitamena Tasmai Sri Gauravena. Srila Gurudev ordered me to speak what he generally calls the third history of how Lord Jagannath appeared. Just as the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and particularly the gopis, feel so much separation from Krishna and come sometimes faint and sometimes to the point of leaving their bodies, so Krishna also feels like that in Dwarka. Once he was unconscious for a few days, and his associates like Baladev, Uddhav, Narada and others were discussing how they could bring him back to consciousness. So first they thought that Narada should simply play on his veena, Narad Muni, Bajai Veena, Radhika, Ramana, Name, and then Krishna would wake up. And then Narada said, but if I do that, then Krishna will immediately run to Vrindavan, play with his friends and the gopis, and will never see him again. So they devised, or thought they were devising, another plan, that Uddhav should first go to Vrindavan and tell all the inhabitants of Vrindavan that, don't worry, Krishna is coming back. But Uddhav said, if I go there, they'll say, oh, that liar and cheater is coming again. Because I was there before, some months after Krishna departed from there, and I promised that I would bring Krishna back, and he never came back, so they wouldn't believe me. Then they suggested that Baladev should go. And Baladev said, the same thing will happen to me. Uddhav said, especially Mother Yasoda will think that liar has come back. And Baladev said, if I go, the same thing will happen. When I came back to Dwarka, after promising the residents of Vrindavan that Krishna will return shortly, I begged him to come, and he promised me he would come. But I don't know what happened to him. He used to be very soft-hearted and merciful when he was in Vrindavan. But after he arrived in Mathura and Dwarka, his heart became like stone. So I couldn't convince him, I won't go. Then Subhadra was overhearing their discussion, and she said, oh, I'll go. I'll go to Vrindavan and jump on the lap of Mother Yasoda and caress her and tell her, your son is coming very soon. Don't worry, you can welcome him. Then I'll go door to door to the house of the gopis and I'll tell them all, decorate Vrindavan and get ready to welcome Krishna. They'll believe me. So when Baladev heard that, he said, if my sister and brother are going, certainly I must go. I cannot live without my brother. And I've missed my mother and father so grievously, I want to see them again. So will all three go? So there was a chariot ready for Subhadra, then a chariot ready for Baladev, and Daruka personally came to be Krishna's chariot driver. As Krishna was going to the chariot, just like we see at the Rath Yatra festival, when Jagannath tilts forward, tilts back, and to the two sides, and the very strong wrestler Daityas have to keep him up by very strong ropes. And as he's st- standing on the pillows, and the pillows break and all the cotton comes out as he's walking from one cotton pillow to another. Similarly, this all started when Krishna was going to his chariot to go to Vrindavan. When Krishna first woke up, he thought, oh, I'm in Vrindavan. Uddhav, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? So then Uddhav said, no, this isn't Vrindavan, this is Dwarka. And Krishna became like a mad person, forgetting that Uddhav is there, Baladev, Narada, forgetting everybody in Dwarka, and just running around in the room thinking, oh, the gopis have stolen my flute. Ah, maybe it was Radhika, or it was Lalita, or Vishaka, and he began searching the invisible gopis like a mad person. So they said, but we're going to send you to Vrindavan right now. So Krishna was fainting in different directions as they were taking him to the chariot, just like the Rath Yatra festival. This is the origin of Rath Yatra. Finally, they got him on his chariot, and Daruka went very, very speedy to Vrindavan. Another thing Subhadra told everybody in Dwarka that I'm going to tell them in Vrindavan is that Krishna is coming with me. It's not that I'm making a promise. Krishna and Baladeva are with me. Krishna may be held up a few moments, a few hours, a couple of days, because on his way, so many rich people and so many kings and princes may be offering him prayers and gifts. So he'll be a little bit held up, but he's coming right away. So the three of them came on their chariots to Vrindavan, and as soon as Krishna arrived, he was told by a messenger that Srimati Radhika is just about to leave her body. She's on the verge of death, and in the very next moment, she will certainly leave her body. And at the same time, the gopis like Lalita and Vishaka were putting cotton under her nostrils to see if she was still alive. And there was hardly any life there. And all the residents of Vrindavan were convinced, now this is definitely the time that Srimati Radhika is leaving. And they were all grievously lamenting and mourning. Even Chandravali, though generally a rival of Srimati Radhika, came to offer her condolences and speak compassionately. So, just then, Krishna arrived, and he saw Radharani in that state of unconsciousness, and he began to weep like a baby uncontrollably. And as he was weeping and his heart was melting, and he was dying inside seeing her, his face began melting, his legs, his arms, everything began melting, and he assumed the form of Lord Jagannath. Then he was so much mournful and feeling separation, though Radharani was right there, that he began rolling on the ground in the form of Lord Jagannath. And Baladev and Subhadra seeing him, they also became intolerant of seeing his suffering, and so they became ecstatic suffering. And so they became also like that. In the meantime, Vishaka and Lalita were whispering in Radharani's ear, your beloved Krishna is here, he's standing right before you, you can wake up now. So Radharani immediately came to external consciousness, but then she saw Krishna weeping and rolling and in the form of Lord Jagannath. So she said, we must save Krishna. Whisper this very special mantra in Krishna's ear. And what was that mantra? Radhe, 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 Jai, Jai, Sri Radhe. So hearing that very magical mantra of his very life and soul, Krishna came back to consciousness and assumed his natural normal form as Krishna, and so did Baladev and Subhadra. And then the loving exchange and the paragraphs and years of conversation that Krishna and Radharani had in their now unlimitedly increased love cannot be described, although it can be realized in the hearts of personalities like Srila Gurudev. Then Narada appeared on the spot, and he said, I would like a benediction. And Krishna said, what is that benediction? So Naraji said, I pray that in these three forms that you melted in the love of the gopis, and particularly in the love of Srimati Radhika, these three forms should be somewhere in the world. And that became Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, so that everybody can begin worshipping you, starting with Jagannath Swami, Nayana Patagami, and pulling the carts, and end up by Sadhu Sangha, finding out about the supremacy of the love of the gopis and your subordination to them, and particularly to Srimati Radhika, so that ultimately people of the world can come to the service of Srimati Radhika. So Lord Krishna said, Tatastu, let it be, let it be. So be it.
Very good. Very interesting story. But how he came? In Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra form. Who brought? And how? Aranya Maharaj will speak on this subject. You don't know. You? Okay. Madhu Maharaj. Ourselves. Shyamrani can. How he came in these three forms? Who brought? Indradev.
I know they know, they can tell it. So Indradumna Maharaj was a great king. And
have you told about Narad requested boon to Krishna? Have you told? Very good.
So Indradumna Maharaj was a great king in Avantipur, middle India, millions and millions of years ago. And his wife was named Gundicha. He was a very great and religious king. And one day, he used to regularly host pilgrims who would come from holy places. And one day, he heard from his Brahmin minister that some pilgrims had just come from a very holy place where they had seen one deity named Neel Madhav. And they said, these pilgrims said, that anyone who sees Neel Madhav, he'll get four arms and go to Vaikuntha. Even if someone doesn't see him, if they only desire to see him, and on the way they die, still, even having not seen them, but just having the desire, still they will go to Vaikuntha. So this king developed a very special desire because he was already a devotee. He thought, I must see Neel Madhava. He wanted to see the Lord in person. So he devised a plan. He collected his ministers and requested them, you go east, you go west, you go north, you go south, you go northeast, you go southeast, in all 10 directions. And all of you take 3 months. And after those 3 months, whether you find Neel Madhava or not, oh, the reason he had to ask was that night, the pilgrims were there in his courtyard. But when he went to find out where is that Neel Madhav, they had already gone. So now he lamented and already felt separation. One of the ministers or his associates who he sent on this search is the son of his priest, and his name is Vidyapati. He was very handsome, very young, and very intelligent. And the king promised, whoever of you find Neel Madhava, I'll give you a portion of my kingdom. I'm so eager. So he went towards the east, and after walking and walking for many weeks, he came to one village. And it was evening time, and he required some place to rest. So he asked the residents there, and they told him there is one Sabara, which is a lower caste person, but he's very religious, very humble, very intelligent, and he always hosts pilgrims. He's a very excellent host, and most people go to his house. So Vidyapati went to his house, and he wasn't home at that moment. His beautiful young daughter, Lalita, was home. And she said, just stay a moment and my father will come home soon. So his father came home with a very excellent fragrance on his body, very outstanding, unique fragrance. And Vidyapati was overwhelmed by that fragrance. So the Sabara father, whose name was Visvavasu, he instructed his daughter, please give everything to this Brahmana. Help him with his bathing, with his prasadam, with everything that he requires. So she began serving him, and the nature of a young girl, beautiful girl, serving a young, beautiful man, is that they became attracted to each other and fell in love. Though Vidyapati already had a Brahmin wife back home in Avantipur, still he fell in love with Lalita. And she requested her father that they be married, and her father very easily agreed. Now they're husband and wife. So one day, Vidyapati asked his wife, Lalita, Lalita, now my dear, affectionate, loving wife, you are my half. So I have one request to make from you. I want to know where your father goes every day And he comes back with this wonderful fragrance. She said, I can't tell you. Then he became very disturbed and upset. You're my half, and you can't tell me? And then he became silent. So she was grief-stricken that she couldn't please her husband. She said, I promise not to tell, but I must tell you because you're my husband. He goes to see one deity. Oh, what is the name of that deity? Neel Madhav. So we cannot imagine how Vidyapati was overjoyed. So he asked her, please arrange and ask your father if he'll take me. So Lalita sat on the lap of her father and very sweetly and politely said, my husband would like to go with you to see Neel Madhav. And instantly he became petrified of separation, that if somebody knows, somehow or other, I just feel that I'm going to be separated from my Lord. So he was bewildered. Should I tell her? Should I not tell her? And seeing his hesitancy, she said, if you don't tell me, then I'll take poison and die. So believing her and thinking, I'll lose my only beloved daughter. This is, as our Prabhupada used to say, the last weapon of the lady. So he said, okay, I'll take him, but there's a condition. He'll have to be blindfolded with a black cloth around his eyes. And she was agreeable, her husband was agreeable. The next day, the husband sat with his father-in-law on the cart, and she's very intelligent, Lalita. As her father is, so she is. So she very stealthily whispered to her husband, here, take these. These are mustard seeds, and they will grow very beautiful yellow flowers. So you should throw them here and there on the road as you're going. And very soon these flowers will grow and create a road. And then you'll be able to find Neel Madhav yourself later without having to go with my father. So the husband was very happy. But Visvavasa was also very intelligent. So he didn't drive on any straight path, but he went in a very zigzag way. Because when one is blindfolded or blind, then his other senses are more perceptive. So in order that his other senses wouldn't realize, he took a very jig-jag path. And finally they reached the hill of Neel Madhav. And Visvavasu told his son-in-law, just wait here, I'm going to get paraphernalia for worship, and I'll be back soon. In the meantime, he was sitting there outside the temple, and he saw one tree with the branches leaning over the lake. And he saw a crow sitting on the branch. And this crow, just accidentally, maybe he was sleeping, fell off the branch, fell into the lake, and came out with four hands, and Garuda came to get him and flew him off to Vaikuntha. So Vidyapati thought, well, this crow eats animals and eats stool without any discrimination he's eating. He's such a low bird. And he went to Vaikuntha? If I jump into that lake, I'll also go to Vaikuntha. So he just began to climb the tree when all of a sudden there was an aerial voice, a voice from the sky. Don't do it. Don't commit suicide. I have very big plans for you. And all arrangements will be made. And just after that, Visvavasu came back and he said, come on, come on. He didn't realize what he was doing. Come on, let's go to the temple. So he went to the temple and finally, after so many months, he was able to see Neel Madhav. And his heart was totally overjoyed at the beauty of the deity. And he saw the worship by his father-in-law, the singing, the worship, the paraphernalia being offered. And then again his blindfold was put on, and again they went back in a zigzag way back to his home. On the way, Visvavasu heard an aerial voice, which said, oh Visvavasu, you've served me for so long, and now I want to be served by King Indradumna, who Vidyapati is representing. So he immediately became petrified. And as soon as they got home, he locked Vidyapati up in a room as though he was in jail. So Vidyapati had to get back to his king. So he begged his wife, you're my half, you're my dearly beloved wife, please help me escape, and I'll get back here as soon as possible. So she did that, and after walking for weeks, he got back to King Indradumna and told him everything that happened. Now King Indradumna was so happy. He took his wife, he took all of his ministers, his army, and they went to that village. But by the arrangement of the Lord, that whole village was covered with sand. No village, only sand. No hill, only sand. naturally no mustard seeds, only sand, and no temple, only sand. So the king was overwhelmed with grief. He decided he would fast until death. So he sat down, and then that same aerial voice came to him. And he said, "Don't be disturbed. I will come to you, but not in the form of Neel Madhav. I will come to you in three forms, Jagannath, four, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and Sudarshan Chakra. I will come as a log, and you will take that log and make that log, which is replete with Chakra and Gada and Padma, all these signs of Vishnu, and you will make my deities. But first, Brahma will come, and he will take you to Vaikuntha, and there you'll be able to see me personally." So Brahma immediately came. They went to Vaikuntha, and there he saw Neel Madhav in his Vishnu form speaking with his associates, and he was so pleased, unlimitedly happy. And then the Lord himself told the king the same thing that the aerial voice told. Then he went back, and he was already had arranged a temple to be built. But now, you know, the time level in Vaikuntha is a lot different from the earth. So now so many millions of years had passed. And when he got back, everybody had already died practically from his kingdom. By the arrangement of the Lord, his wife was there, but practically everyone else was gone. And that temple that he had built, there was a new king, naturally. A new king was in charge of the temple. So he went to the king and told him, "No, this is my temple. I built it so many millions of years ago." But he didn't believe him. So Brahma came as a witness, and there was also one crow named
Kakabhushan.
And he confirmed that I've lived a long time, and I know that this is the actual king. So the new king turned the temple over to the old king, that is the real king, Indradumna Maharaj. And then the log came in, but he couldn't move the log. All of his elephants, all of his army couldn't move the log. And they found that log at Chakratirtha. So an aerial voice came again, and that aerial voice said, "You won't be able to take me out, but my great devotees, Visvavasu, Lalita, and Vidyapati, they'll be able to take me out." Somehow or other, they remained, despite the fact that the village was covered by sand. So go and find them, bring them in a royal procession on a chariot, bring them to this spot. So the king arranged for that. Then they came, they went in the water, chanting Jai Neel Madhav, Jai Neel Madhav, Jai Jagannath, Jai Baladev, Jai Subhadra, and instantly the log came out. The log was put on a chariot, brought in a royal procession to the temple, and then the king made an announcement. "I would like all the carpenters of Orissa to come and make these deities that the Lord said should come from this log." So many, and I will give a portion of my kingdom to anyone who can do it. So many carpenters came, and as soon as their tools touched the log, immediately they broke. The log was too hard for them. So there was one old and very beautiful Brahmin. He said, "My name is Maharana, and I can do it. But I have a condition. It will take 21 days to carve these deities, and you shouldn't disturb me at all." So the king agreed, and now 14 days passed. And you know, ladies have a very soft heart. So the queen of the king said, "My dear husband, this Brahmana hasn't eaten anything, I'm sure, for 14 days. And I haven't heard any sounds for 14 days. Maybe he's dead. If he dies, then we'll be, Brahmahatya will be guilty of the sin of killing a Brahmana. The responsibility will go on our head." So the minister told him, "No, I think there's some special mystical arrangement here." But she kept insisting, so finally the king arranged to have the doors pushed open. And Srila Gurudev tells the story in different years and a little bit different ways, I guess according to how it happened in different yugas. One time the Brahmana was there and he smiled and said, "Oh, I couldn't finish the deities because you came and disturbed me." And then he disappeared. And another time there was no Brahmana but just the deities. But on any occasion, the king realized that this was not any carpenter that carved this form. This was actually Jagannath himself. So then, as an aerial voice, Lord Jagannath instructed the king exactly how to have the Rath Yatra festival. It's not invented by anybody, this festival. It's actually dictated by the Lord. There'll be the Snana Yatra, there'll be the Chandan Yatra, there'll be a 10-day Ratha Yatra, we'll go to Gunjita. The temple was named after the queen because the queen was so instrumental in bringing the Lord. Then the king requested Lord Jagannath, please don't let me have any children. Why? Because if I have any children and they have their children, then our descendants will think that this is my temple and I should get all the pranami, just like it's going on not only in India but in the West. So Lord Jagannath agreed, and then he smiled. And why he smiled was because he knew that in Krishna's pastimes, in this third history, and also in the second history, which you haven't heard yet, in Dwarka, another way that Lord Jagannath appeared, again, Krishna told Narada, yes, I will appear. And that's why Jagannath smiled to the king. And Lord Premananda Hari Hari.
Gaukunda Hari Hari Vipale Janama Gavai.
Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gano Hari 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 Bifale Janama Gano Janama Bhaiya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Manusha Janama Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Manusha Janama Bhaiya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Janiya Suniya Disha Kaino Janiya Suniya Disha Kaino Hari Hari
Sankirtan Gola Kera Prema Dada
Golokera prema adha Hari naam sankirtan
Golokera prema adha Hari naam sankirtan
Ratina janmina kenata
Amen.
Raghunanda Suta Rishabham Suta Kita Prabhunanda Suta Rishabhanu Suta Suta
Prabhunanda Suta Rishabhanu Suta Suta
Karuna Karaho Eva
from heart, try to realize the core of your heart and sing and weep. Narottam Thakur began to sing this kirtan and melted, and all audience used to weep, and Narottam Thakur senseless, flat, rolling on the ground. We should realize all kirtan and then sing. Realize here, your heart will be melted. But our heart is heart made of thunderbolt. Pasu paki jure pasana vidare. What is the meaning of pasana vidare?
The stones, they would melt.
Where?
Heart like only hearing the...
Where? Any example? So many.
In Charan Pahadi, in Raj, and in Ramlila.
In Alala, Puri temple, Chitrakhet, Chitrakut, Bharatendra Brahm Milan. There are so many examples. Even a stone is in Alala, melted by. Right? But our heart, more hard than a stone, even. Right? And that is why. Before Rath Jatra, one day, Gundicha Marjan has been written in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu took this service from king himself, through Kashi Mishra, and with his associates, thousands and thousands, he went to Puri with one broom and one jar, pitcher. And taking water from in the Dimna Sarovar, and he was washing. First he pruned, and gradually he took one stones, chips, then also dhuli,
dust
here and there, made as clear his heart was, with his own Uttariya Vasan. Why? Really, who can pull the
rod,
chariot? Who? First be like that, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told. Take all your anarths, first your aparad, all kinds of offenses. Sadhu Ninda, Guru Ravakya, Suti Shastra Nindanam, 10 aparad. And then what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has told about on earth, Anishtita Bhakti, all should be done. Moreover, all. A spotless, when? At the time of Bhav, Rati. And he can pull. Understand? We can't. We general purpose fast flow. We go there. And we all touch
rope.
A single man cannot uplift. Oh, even that rope, even what to tell, so many elephants cannot pull the rug. Mandi, who will? Whose heart is clear like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think that Krishna heart is also not clear. not verified. Because he has so much lust for all gopis, all Mathura,
Ramanis,
prince of Dwarka, and any new, brand new humans. So I think not clear, not verified. Only the heart of gopis, and especially of Radhika, is we should try to form. And then we can pull, Radhika can pull and attract the chariot of Krishna, or what to chariot, even the heart of Krishna she can attract. This is the process. Try to follow. Understand? Good idea?
Yeah.
So this is the meaning of Gundicha Mandir, Marjan. Try to discover where are your offenses, where are your honors. And after that, In Anishchita Bhakti, six what? So, if all will go, then the ruchi will come, taste will come. And then it means that he is being ready to pull dira. But even he cannot, unless he comes in the stage of rati. And especially in the stage of madanakha bhava, last stage, rood, adirood. So gopi can pull. Gopis are really pulling from where? Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. They can. Can you bring? Nothing. You cannot bring a advanced Vaishnava even. You don't recognize. Gopis realize. Gopis realize. So this is the internal meaning of Gundita Mandin Marjan and pulling of Rath. They can pull the Rath. So try to